Hi, and welcome to New Every Day. My name's Carrie.
My name's Jen, and you are on the road with us today as we travel through Kentucky and Tennessee. Come along for the ride.
Welcome back. We are on a road trip all the way from Ontario down through the States to Tennessee. That's our ultimate destination. And right now we're in Kentucky, and we just went to the Ark Encounter, the life-size model of Noah's Ark.
Yes. What was really interesting is we needed to get gas. We had no agenda for this journey. And so I pulled off. And I'm like, I wonder what the Ark Encounter is. And literally, Carrie just went and asked someone, and she said it's a life-size replica of the biblical Ark. And we're like, well, do you want to go check it out? And we agreed. We're like, sure, let's go. So we want to share with you a little bit about the journey that we just had for the last few hours. But we're going to start off by reading the account from the book of Genesis.
So this is Genesis 6, verse 9. And I'll just read a couple of verses here. Verse 11. The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And every living thing of all flesh you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, of every creeping thing on the earth after its kind. Two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them. Thus Noah did, according to all that God commanded him. So he did.
Wow. And what really struck us, well, several things struck us. But one of the things that really struck us was the conversation with a guy on the way back. Like, we've gone through everything. And we're on the bus back to get into our vehicle. And this guy just sits there, and he's talking to us just randomly. And he's like, so, like, he said yes to God. Like, God asked him to do it, and he just did it. And how many times do people, you know, do we get thrown off by fear? I mean, the fear of man. And here, it had never rained before. Like, everybody, it says that Noah was a righteous man. And so people would have been rising up against him. We actually watched a video of this woman interviewing Noah, right? She was all like skeptical, and what are you doing, and why are you doing this, and do you know that, you know, it's harder to build it on a hill, and do you know that it's never rained before, and how are you going to feed all those people? And he just continued to say yes.
Yeah. And I like the last portion of that passage, that, and he did it. He just did it.
Yes.
That God asked him to do something, and he just did, without question. And so this guy, this random guy we just met on the bus, he was saying, you know, in church or at work, wherever, we often get discouraged when we talk about the living God who made everything and made us and has a purpose for us. And if we're ridiculed or people make fun of the fact that we believe that, then we'll turn away. Or if you know, we're in church and sharing the views of what we actually believe, that the Bible's true, and we're ridiculed, then you don't just leave. Just find a new place.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting. He had quite a lot to share and just encouraged Jen and I to stay true, to keep serving God, and to say yes when he asks you to do something. Random guy, don't know his name, was really nice, from Kentucky. And I could listen to their accent all day. I just think, if you're watching from Kentucky, I just love your accent. So beautiful. Anyways, as an aside. So yeah, it was very interesting.
So that was probably one of my highlights, because I just found that he knit everything together. Mm. Like, God asked Noah, and Noah did it. And the fact is, it didn't take him just an hour to build the ark. It took him 100 years to build the ark. And I'm thinking, man, if God asked me to do something, like, I tend to be, I want to get her done.
Right.
And so if it takes me, you know, a couple of days, like a sermon takes about a week. You're thinking about it, processing it, researching it. And I'm done. I'm done. I want to be done, and I want to get it together, and I want to give it out.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't imagine following through for 100 years. But as we walked through it, you begin to realize, one, four men worked on this, Noah and his three sons. And it's rounded, right? So they would have had to bend the beams. They would have had to cut down trees. They would have had to, like, sand them off and fit them together. And then it said there's, like, three tiers.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
these three are levels, yeah.
Are levels inside the boat. And I'm just like, wow. And that doesn't even include the crates that the animals would have went into.
So no wonder it took 100 years. And a lot of the exhibit talks about, like, how it was actually made, the engineering behind it, and the ingenuity that it actually took, and how God's design allowed the boat to float. It allowed it to accommodate, what was it, almost 7,000 animals?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, something like that, right? Well, there was 8 people, and they had to take care of about 850 animals each.
Yes.
Which was a ton. But, yeah, it talked about the detail of the engineering and what actually went into creating it. So how it works is that you walk through, they welcome you in, you walk through up ramps to the different levels of the ark. So the bottom is like storage, where they have vessels to actually hold the food and all sorts of other stuff like
that. Well, food and then the water. Like, it was just very interesting to think, oh yeah, they would have had to store water.
Yeah,
they would have had
clean
to store
water.
Food. And so then they take you through some possible ideas of how they would have gotten fresh water, because they had, like, they were on the boat, it says, for 150 days.
Mm.
Like a full year, I think, they were on the boat. So
365.
It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And then it says, and then they were just the waters, right? The waters
were there.
There
was nowhere, yeah.
So it was like a whole year, I think, that they were in there. And we'll have to go back and double check that. And maybe Robbie can do some at the bottom to actually put
fun
in.
Fun fact.
Fun fact with Robbie Ferguson on New Every Day. But what was interesting is, like, how do they get fresh water? How do they deal with, like the manure buildup? And I found that really quite interesting.
The daily life,
because we don't read that in scripture. We just read, and Noah did, and then God brought the animals to the ark, he closed the door, and it rained, and the waters receded. We're not told about what happens, but the fact is, when you know we went in to see this, basically it's like a museum.
Yeah.
And you learn all about it, and you're like, I never really thought about what it would have taken to actually do the day-to-day life every day on the ark.
Or to allow ventilation, or like you said, fresh water. Like the ventilation, what they think happened was that there was a column, a moon pool. So a column inside the ark that when the waves came up and came into this column in the middle of the ark, it pushed the air up, and then they had like a one-way valve that would open up and the fresh air would come in. The valve would close, right? Yeah, the valve would close, and then the waters would recede, and then it would displace more air when the waves came up. So it was like ventilating the actual boat. So it all seems like, wow, this makes sense. This is plausible. And as you walk through, they build the case. Mm-hmm. So they start with the assumption that the Bible is true, that this really happened, and it happened because of man's sin. They talk about the corruption of man and how when Adam and Eve first sinned, then as the generations went on, people became more and more wicked until all of their thoughts were wicked all of the time. And that's why God had to bring the flood. So they weave that story and the reason why, and then finally the provision of Christ at the end, and explains the meaning behind the gospel and how it ties in with Noah's Ark. But it was very well done. So if you are in Kentucky, come to Ark Encounter.
But come with some questions. So we're going to take a commercial break, and we want you to think about, I wonder how they did ... So we'll be right back. Hold on.
Jeff Weston.
Yeah, man.
You're building a brand new, beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough.
All right. Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? You need hosting. One of the things about a hosting account is you don't want to have limitations put on your website.
It's true.
How much hard drive space do you have? How many email accounts? How many domains can point to it? Well, we've got an amazing deal for you. For a very limited time, cat5.tv/dreamhost, for just $5 and a bit of change per month, you are going to get unlimited website hosting, unlimited email accounts on that hosting service. You are also going to receive a free domain name.
Ooh.
So your own .com.
Nice.
To put that amazing website that you've been working on there. If you want to build a WordPress site, fine. Sign up. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Just don't put Panama Papers on it.
Just don't do it. But hey, it's a great deal, folks. Best deal you're going to find. $5 and change per month. Go to cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Welcome back to New Every Day. We're in the middle of our discussion about the Ark Encounter in Kentucky, United States. And Jen, you left us thinking about some questions. You said if you come to Kentucky, I'm just going to make sure our battery doesn't die. We're in the car. Make sure the camera's still going to work. Then you should come with some questions before you go into the Ark so that you can hopefully have your questions answered. So one question you had, Jen.
Well, and I didn't even realize I had the question until I got there and went, oh, that's how they did that. And I don't know, because we watch the animals go in two by two, right? And we just think, oh yeah, they all just lazed around everywhere. But how did they keep the animals separate? And how did they look after the piles of poo? And what about the urine? And how did this all work? So the very cool thing is, the first thing you do when you walk into this, and you see crates of
animals.
Yeah, stacks of crates. And the way that they have them made is that there's a little slot that is sort of like an angle with a little spot in the back where all the poo and the urine would just feed down, and it would just all feed down into one trough, which would collect and then be pushed out and gathered up and pushed out. And I was like, oh, that's ingenious, because I couldn't imagine having to go in and clean every single cage, right?
When I don't even like scooping kitty litter.
Like, I was like, okay, that's really cool. And the fact that they were actually stacked on top of each other.
That makes sense.
I was like, ooh.
Because then it all collects.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That was really cool.
And then how do you actually, they had the one really cool exhibit with amphibians and reptiles. And it said, what if they eat moths? Well, how do you do that? And they show that potentially they could have had like a moth room. And as the moths came into being, like the eggs were laid, came into being, they would fly up into a tube for the amphibians and other things that would eat moths, and literally it would just be this continually new source of food. And I was like, oh, that's ingenious.
Like moth crate, tube, reptile crate, and the moths just fly in the tube and...
Yeah, and what was really cool is they talked about technology. We often think people who have come before, really, their technology wasn't that great. Mm-hmm. But really, like, even Sir Isaac Newton says, I stand on the shoulders of giants.
If I can see something more clearly, if I can see farther than others, it's because I'm sitting on the shoulders of giants.
Yes, and so this idea, like, we can think, how did Noah do that? Well, we also had to realize, like, with Tubal Cain and with the line of Cain, they already knew how to make metal objects, right. And they knew how to make a lot of things, so the technology was there, and it might be more crude than what we would consider today, but the technology was there.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you also have to remember, this is a God thing.
Yeah.
So he could have very much told Noah how to build it. Like,
right.
Sometimes we just take that out. We think, well, how did Noah build it? Well, he was building it for God.
Right. He wasn't just like, you know what? I'm going to build an ark today.
Yeah.
For the next 100 years. And the other thing was that Noah and his sons, they were hundreds of years old already. And so they had experience and more cumulative knowledge than we would have in our lifespan of, 80, 90 years, right?
I know. Like, that, for me, I didn't realize I had questions until I was actually faced with, I want to say, some proof or some new ideas that I hadn't thought of. And then I went, we didn't realize what we didn't know. We didn't know what we didn't know.
Yeah.
So that was, I think that's what was a big aha moment for me.
And because Noah's Ark is often depicted as like this cute fairy tale story in children's books, and one portion of this tour is actually set up, and there's a wall of children's books, and you see the spectrum of interpretation of the biblical account of Noah's Ark, and how it can be deceiving when you look at it. It's like a cute story.
Yes.
And you see this little boat, a little model of a boat, and all these animals crowded around the top, and Noah and his wife, and his sons, and it looks kind of nice, but really it was a terrible time.
Yes.
But yet that was the sign of hope and God's provision. So it was very interesting to see that this is portrayed as like a fairy tale, like a nice fairy tale to believe in. And that's one of the things that I was thinking about as we walked through, Jen. Is this believable? Like, can you believe this? Like, we're actually walking in it. So it's structurally sound enough.
I
see the evidence here, but the first mental leap is to believe that God exists who told this man to do it.
Yes. Yes.
You know? And so people have a hard time with Jonah being swallowed by a whale and, you know, Noah's Ark, but he also is the one who spoke the world into existence.
Yes.
And so if you don't believe that, then none of this makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And in the portion where you're examining the children's stories, there's a picture of the serpent, being representative of Satan. And it said, how's it go, Jen?
Oh, golly. But basically, if I can get you to deny the flood, I can get you to deny heaven and hell as well, that they exist. And I was like, that's so true. And that's what I loved about, that was probably one of my favorite rooms, was the kids' room.
Me too, yeah.
Because it talks about how easily deception slides in. And I was like, I don't want deception to slide in. And like, I don't want to think of Noah, the story of Noah and Ark, Noah and the building of the Ark, as whimsical anymore, and that's a good test of faith, but it was actually God's judgment on the earth. Like, this isn't a feel good fairy tale story. This is like, there was only one person on the earth to be found righteous, and that was Noah, and God chose to hold on to Noah. And so we're actually going to take we're going to stop right there. We're going to come back with part two of the story next week. But I want you to think about that concept of Noah being the only righteous man, and yet there God is providing a way. So we're going to stop and pray. Dear Lord God, thank you so much that you were faithful to Noah and you provided a way for him and his family to be saved. So Father, as we think about what that means for us, I ask in your name that you would speak your truth into our innermost being and help us to believe that you are faithful to us. I pray this in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we hope that you are going to tune in next week for more of our road trip adventure through to Tennessee. So until next week, have an awesome week.